welcome live on Blog Talk Radio for Jaguar Zone. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York. We are presented today, of course, by Impact Media. Kudos to those guys. And wow, sound guy dropping the ball early. Gosh, his new nickname may be AP because as good as this guy is, he drops the ball a little much. Wow. Who is sound guy today? I think our audience would agree here. Jaguar fans, I think you guys agree. Text us in, of course, or at the Impact 99 at Team Impact Media. Catch us on Facebook, any of that kind of stuff. Email us 3endzone@gmail.com. I think yellow's the lap there, buddy. Yeah. Jaguar zone. We didn't need the music for Panther zone. So as that guy is, can somebody, okay, good. Somebody's going to watch the soundboard while he takes a lap around the entire complex. Have fun with that. But, no, it's all in good fun here. Of course, like I said, it's Jaguar zone. Appreciate you joining us in. And, man, I will formally apologize, Jaguar fans. I don't know what just happened. We're taking care of it. In fact, we may play the theme in the middle of the show. Who knows? But as you know, this is Jaguar Zone, and per our usual new format, I'm going to get into some NFL stuff. I'm going to finish up with some Jag stuff. Jaguars have had a lot going on. Definitely going to get into the free agency signings. And a good friend of ours who's been on this show before, Frank Scaduto, had an interesting take the other day about the free agency stuff. And obviously, I'm going to go over what he said. Because a lot of you guys have echoed that, and you know, I'm going to throw it out there. But like I said, I'm going to start with some NFL stuff. Tons of big things going on. I'm not going to mention every free agency signing. We'll get into those in a minute. Of course, the big thing leading off, Peyton Manning gives us 18 good years and takes his ball and goes home. I don't blame him. Two Super Bowl wins. I believe he went to 4 total. You know, played the majority of his career for the Colts, then, of course, finished up with the Broncos in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, kudos to Peyton. He's not my favorite overall, but I definitely respect what he did for the game, and he's got to be in that conversation. You know, we're not ones to talk about rock formations here or particular lists. Now, I'm not going to list out the best quarterback because everybody's got an opinion. Like I said, he's got to be considered in the conversation with a lot of the greats for sure. And you know, congratulations Peyton on a great career. And as somebody who reports on and follows the Jaguars, I'm glad we do not have to face you anymore. That being said, who knows what Peyton's next thing's going to be. You know, there's two franchises that he has connections to that probably should be sold, and that would be the Tennessee Titans and the New Orleans Saints. Somehow I see the Saints being a better opportunity than the Titans, because I don't know that the Titans would be willing to sell in general, not just to him. But, of course, like I said, congratulations, Peyton, on a good career. And, you know, have fun in retirement. I know your kids are looking forward to it. Now, of course, this caused a little bit of a domino effect because Denver obviously needs a quarterback. Well, they did have one on their roster by the name of Brock Osweiler. We all know his story all the way up to this point. They offered him a 3-year deal worth up to $45 million. That's pretty good money. But he went over to Houston within a day. Walks over to Houston, who gives him like $47 million over 3 years, and he takes that. He wanted out of Denver, clearly. I don't blame him. If you stay in Denver, you'll always be known as that guy that backed up Peyton for the most part. It'd be hard for him to build his own legacy. If he goes to Houston, I mean, if you can be the one to get him to that next level, people are going to remember what you did, and it'll mean a lot more. But, you know, he was one of the free agency signings. He went over to Houston, who we do face a couple times, and is he better than most of the people they've had? Sure. But I'm okay with our defense playing against Brock Osweiler 2 times a year. Don't know about you guys, but I feel pretty good about it. In other news, of course, you know, one of the other teams we follow, the Atlanta Falcons. I got a handful of things about them just because some Falcons people were asking if I would cover some of the Falcons stuff on tonight's Jaguar Zone, given that the next Falcons Zone is a couple weeks away. Fair enough. Got you covered. People that have come in to visit, of course, Chris Long and James Laurinaitis have been to Atlanta. They could be in Jacksonville in the next couple of days. We'll see. No big deal going there. Of course, we had the big issue where the Atlanta coach asked an Ohio State player at the combine if they like men. Now, while this shouldn't be that big of a deal, here's the reason why it's a big deal. It's a big deal because coaches and personnel are instructed. This is an actual rule. It's combine. You cannot ask orientation questions. You cannot ask, for the most part, you can't ask the really, really deep questions like that. And it's not like they don't want to offend anybody. No, it's just that's personal as far as that. It's not like, you know, do you do crack? So, you know, they're going to probably more than likely suspend or fine this coach. Atlanta's probably going to lose a draft pick or something of the sort. It is what it is, and it's unfortunate. It was probably just a slip of the tongue and the way he said it. So, you know, Atlanta will bounce back from that. Another thing, a lot of people want to know if Brian Shanahan is on the hot seat for the Falcons. That's the offensive coordinator, because Roddy and his agent have blasted him pretty good since being released from the team late last week. Far as I know, he's not, but, I mean, he could be, because this is not the first place that players have blasted him. He was in Washington before Atlanta, and at Washington, similar thing happened. As people got away from him, they would blast him. And, before then, I believe he was in Cleveland, which is where he met Alex Mack. So, I don't know. We'll have to keep an eye on it. It's a little late in the year to be looking for an offensive coordinator, so I would imagine that he'll be around, unless something just really crazy happens, he'll be around the rest of the year. Like I said, it is what it is as far as that. Moving on, some quick signings by the Falcons. Like I said, then we'll get into some more NFL stuff, then we'll finish up with the Jags. Just bear with us here if you're waiting on the Jags stuff. Atlanta did sign defensive end Derek Shelby. He played in Miami last year. He's solid. He's going to help their defensive line quite a bit. They also signed wide receiver Mohamed Sanu, who played in Cincinnati. He's pretty much going to take over the number two spot where Roddy White did. He's a good bit younger, so that's why he ended up getting a little bit more money. And, it just goes back to did Roddy White and Kyle Shanahan have issues? It seems like they probably did. They also re-signed Adrian Claiborne, who was already on the team. They released Paul Solia. Just didn't work out. Paid him way too much money for minimal results. Like I said, they did sign Alex Mack, who I know the Jaguars were in the market for. They're in the market for him, and Bruce Irvin, of course, ended up with neither. We'll get to that in a minute. But they also signed Matt Schaub, who comes back to Atlanta for his second tenure. You know, he once backed up Michael Vick, who was replaced by Matt Ryan. So kind of interesting. How you book in that. But as far as Falcons related stuff, I think those are some really good signings. I'm excited to see how that shapes out. I think they did improve their team in a lot of areas that needed it, and they added some speed and depth, and that's two things that Coach Quinn has always professed about. Now, a couple other things real quickly. Former Tampa Bay and New England offensive lineman Logan Mankins has called it a career as well. Always liked that guy. And you know, Tom Brady, that was one of his favorite offensive linemen. He hated to see him go that year, a couple years ago. But it is what it is as far as that. It's business. Logan Mankins, by far, he'll probably be an executive in the league somewhere or work for the league office. He's a real smart guy. Really knows what he's doing. Or maybe he'll get a podcast. Maybe he'll be the next Ross Tucker. I know that'd be pretty cool. Love to hear what Logan has to say. Let's see. Before we get into some free agent signings, I want to let you know that as far as the ESPN countdown, Coach Ditka is now going to be a senior ESPN advisor. He's not going to really be on the show all that much, I believe. And who are they going to put in his chair? How about former Titans quarterback Matt Hasselbeck? Not Tim. Tim's already on the show. That's his brother. Matt Hasselbeck is going to be on the ESPN Sunday Countdown or whatever that show's called. Good for Matt. He's a real smart guy. And it's good to know that he's not backing up Andrew Luck. So if something happens to Andrew Luck, well, that's a crapshoot. Matt Hasselbeck is a super guy, and wish him the best. Now, as far as big signings, there were only a handful that really jumped out to me. Bruce Irvin of the Raiders, 4 years, $37 million. Would have been nice to get him here, but really it was down to three teams. I didn't even know they were in it. It seems that Ken Norton being the defensive coordinator, that he would rather play for Ken Norton than either of his two former coordinators. More power to you, Bruce. And good luck to you. He's a good guy. Rodney McLeod signed to be part of the Philadelphia Eagles secondary, which is weird because that was pretty much the strongest part of their team. But 5 years, $37 million. Rodney, buy you a nice place, maybe some Flyers tickets or something as well. Jason Pierre-Paul is re-signed with the Giants, 1 year, $10 million. It's the best deal he was going to get. They're really wanting to see what he's going to do with his, 8.5 fingers. Hopefully he can turn into the beast he was. They need a defensive overhaul bad. They're kind of doing that in the process. But 1 year, $10 million, again, to the Giants. And the Raiders, again, got one of the other top ones to me. They're paying $58.5 million, 5 years of service from Kelechi Osemele, who used to play with the Ravens. Really good offensive lineman. He's another one that I kind of wish we would have saw here in Jacksonville, but we didn't really have the money to go after him like that. That's a lot of money. But, of course, if you guys do want to, chime in, you can follow the links and listen in, or you can call 347-826-7448. And even if we're talking Jaguar stuff and you want to talk about your team, if it's a different team, then go for it. We'll do our best to get to it. But I want to get into some Jaguar stuff. I feel like I missed a big signing somewhere. Oh, Mario Williams. I believe. Yeah. Mario Williams. Maybe he's not in Miami. Maybe he re-signed, I don't know. Oh. Either way. I don't think we got them all. We'll be back in. Oh, good. Our sound guy is back. And he looks to be okay. And let's hope he plays the right song here in a minute. Now, of course, like I said, we are live on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to give a special shout-out to the amazing people there who allow us to come on each and every week and talk about Jaguars football, among other things. And let's see. And now we're getting into some Jag stuff. It's about time we get into some Jag stuff. The Jaguars released Zane Beadle and Chris Clemons the other day right before free agency. Those guys will sign somewhere. Wish the best on their future endeavors. As far as them, it just, you know, we signed them to small contracts and it just wasn't working out, so it was time to move on. It really was. It was time to move on. So, that's what the Jaguars did. They moved on. I know both thank the Jacksonville franchise and you guys, the fans, for supporting them. For those of you who did. And, you know, not saying they couldn't come back, but for what we were paying them, there's just no way you can keep them. No way at all. Now, I did want to mention a good friend of the show. She's been on a couple times. Not necessarily Jaguars on, but she's been on a couple of other shows. Jen Welter, you know. You remember she played running back for the Texas Revolution, who we cover here, for a year. She also coached the following year with the Texas Revolution. She did an internship for coaching. She was a summer intern with the Arizona Cardinals this offseason. Now the one coming up, she should be back as well. It was a 2-year thing she signed. But she held a women's football event in Jacksonville. Everything went well there. She was able to instruct women and girls on the proper way to play and to really get a gauge for understanding the game and doing it safely. Congratulations, Jen, on another successful event, and I know you are paving the way for more females in the game of football and sports in general. Now, moving on. The Jaguars did have interest in people like J.R. Sweezy, who is a offensive guard with Seattle. Now, here was my question behind that, which, now that he's signed elsewhere, don't have to worry about that. But the thing is when you see somebody released, whether they played 1 year, whether they've never, you know, no matter their tenure, why would they let him go? And in fact, J.R. Sweezy walked slap out of the Seahawks world. Not like he walked out and gave up on him, nothing like that. Just he said he was on a hit free agency if they didn't want to talk, and they didn't want to talk. Now, if you're Seattle, who had an atrocious offensive line last year, and you let this guy walk super easy, then maybe he wasn't as strong as you think he was. So, you know, kind of glad we didn't really go after him. But that's what you think about when anybody's released. Why was that guy released? Was it a cap casualty, which happens? Is it he's an older veteran, you're not sure what he's got left in the tank, or maybe he doesn't have anything in the tank? Is he a locker room issue? Is he an off-field issue? Is he an on-field issue? There's a lot of reasons why you can release people. Most of the time it's cap casualty this time of year, but, you know, you never know. Now, as far as the people that are now Jacksonville Jaguars, let's get into those. We might be able to get out of here a little early tonight. I know you guys enjoy your Thursday. It's been a just fantastic day. Of course, Malik Jackson. We got the guy we're after. He's a defensive end. From what I hear, he will go on the other side from Dante Fowler Jr. There's a couple nose tackles out there. Maybe we go with Alualu, or Alualu, however you want to say it. But I think Malik Jackson's going to add that pass rushing balance on the other side. If you're going to have to worry about both those guys, then it might free up the middle for some of these linebackers to come flying through. I think I'm glad we got Malik Jackson, and I'm glad Denver lost him. Also signed, free safety, Tayshawn Gibson. I believe he last played for Cleveland. I don't blame him for running out on that. But not only is he a free safety, but he can play a little strong safety when, if need be, and he's a pretty good cover guy as well, so we could drop him at the corner if need be. Tayshaun Gibson definitely makes our secondary better, and I know you guys are happy to have him here as well. One of the ones you guys kind of scratch your head on, one of those two, is Chris Ivory, the running back. And it's like a 5-year deal on him. I get that right? Yeah, 5 years, $32 million. Now, it's pretty much the same general contract that Doug Martin got to stay a Buccaneer. But I'm not worried about what the Buccaneers do right now or, you know, what Doug Martin does. What this does is provides a change of pace back. It provides backup and depth, especially if something happens now. Get an injury or anything like that, Chris Ivory can step in. He's just a violent rusher. The other one you guys had scratching your head over, you know, we let Brian Angerer go, the third-round punter that we had from the previous regime. And we signed Brad Norman. Brad Norman, who... Brad Norman, who last kicked for Carolina, I believe. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Not only is he a good punter, he's solid, and he's a lot cheaper than Angerer was. Now, obviously, that had to do with the fact that he's like a third or fourth round draft pick. But Brad Norman, his time at Wisconsin, he's a solid guy, and he's young. He's only been in the league since 2012. Been here like 4 years, and he can grow with this young team. And like I said, I like Brad Norman. He's going to add some solidarity to the special teams. Now the Jaguars did release running back Toby Gerhardt. That's another one, just like Clemens and Beatles. Signed it, it gave him a year or so. It just didn't work. So it was time to move on. Definitely time to move on with that one. Wish Toby the best. He's got to get somewhere where he can get his feet under him, and that's not Jacksonville. So. Now, also, Mercedes Lewis was re-signed. You know, he's an 11-year veteran, and he's really one of the heart and soul of this team. You guys love him. The organization loves him. He's a really big part. Now, if he can stay healthy enough to contribute like he was starting to last year, sky's the limit on this guy, and we know that. I'm happy to have him back. I think he will help Julius Thomas as far as taking some of the pressure off him, and Julius can help him as far as probably allowing him to have a few more targets, especially if you run a double tight end set. But, you know, before we close up for sure tonight, like I said, our good friend Frank Scuduto posted the other day that based off the signings, and I think this was after the first day, he was a little disappointed. And not in the quality of guys we got. He felt like those were great, but there were so many big free agents that, according to all the experts, were going to be signing in Jacksonville. You know, Bruce Irvin, Alex Mack, just all these different people. And he felt like maybe management let a couple of them go. And, you know, you don't sign so much because you only have so many dollars. Jaguars happen to have a little more than pretty much every other team in the league. But, you know, a couple of you guys have echoed that as well. I've talked to some of you guys since, you know, in the last couple of days. And, you know, a lot of you guys are real excited about the new guys and you know, everything's looking great. And some of you guys are okay with the new guys, or some of you don't like some of the new guys, but, you know, you're not sure where the team's going to go because you felt like you still didn't address things. Look, given the people they signed here, between Malik Jackson and Norman and all the guys, for one, they're not done. We're going to see a lot of changes between now and the start of the season, especially in Jacksonville. So just, you know, bear with everybody here. But, you know, give Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell benefit of the doubt, at least for this year. I know it feels like everybody's been saying that. What's this, you know, give him another year, give him the benefit of the doubt here. If Chad Kahn didn't like it, they wouldn't be here. Give him the benefit of the doubt that they're adding the last pieces. Because everybody, all the way from me to Dan Patrick, have said three teams to watch in the next year. People that are turning the corner to go to the next level. That's Tampa Bay, that's Oakland, and that's Jacksonville. And I absolutely believe that. I stand behind it. I'm on record on my own show. This team is so close. I think if we can shore up the offensive line, no, that doesn't mean a left tackle. Let's leave that where it is. You got to figure out who the center is going to be. Obviously, it's not going to be Alex Mack now. So once you know, maybe sign Wisniewski back. He was pretty solid. When they shore up that offensive line, I think that's the offense is going to be great. Maybe in the draft you address another pass rusher, or maybe a safety. And I think the defense is only a couple pieces away as well. Plus, like I said, we play Brock Osweiler twice a year. We're going to play Andrew Luck twice a year, if he can stay healthy. That seems to be his issue. Because of his balls-out style, he gets hurt a lot. I'm not saying we should hurt him on purpose, but he tends to get banged up. So maybe we don't face him twice. And then we get Marcus Mariota the other 2 years, or the other two games. I'm okay with that. He's a solid quarterback, but he doesn't have a team around him. So to me, the time is now. The time absolutely has to be now. That's why today's show was called Christmas Day. Christmas Day, everybody has expectations. Sometimes the day lives up to it, sometimes not. It's not just about going to see what presents were left for you or anything like that. It's what you do with your day. So I challenge you guys, look for the positivity, not just in these signings, not just in the moves. Look for the positivity in those around you. And make the most of your day. Like I said, this is like Christmas morning. Free agency period is always like Christmas morning. So you go downstairs and you watch the joy that it brings of other people to be around the positivity. So, you know, unfortunately, Frank, I'm going to have to disagree with you. And I'm going to have to say that I'm not disappointed in these. And I totally respect your opinion. And I see where you're coming from. That's why I tried to explain a little bit. But as far as these signings, as far as the moves they made, as far as the ones they didn't make, I'm good. I feel like this team is going in the direction I want it to go in. And given the way everything could pan out, who knows? See if we can pull up the... I haven't made the schedule yet. But given some of the opponents we're going to face, and given that I just told you the six division game quarterbacks, I think the Jaguars are looking currently at between 8 and 9 wins and possibly a wild card, if not maybe the division. Maybe so. Who knows? That's why we watch, though, right? And that's why the Teal Street Hooligans throw one of the best bashes down at Duval and Bryan every game. That's why they have all the events away from it. Shout out to those guys. Haven't given them a shout out in a while, so definitely want to do it right now. shout out to the Seals for your hooligans. And like I said, let's stay positive. And I'm not saying that because everything's down. Let's stay positive. Let's be nice to everybody. Let's be nice to each other. Let's welcome the new guys into town. And let's go out fighting like a Jaguar. Let's go out fighting like a Jaguar. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go out fighting like a Jaguar. But that's going to do it for me this week. Appreciate you dropping by the Jaguar Zone here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, today we're presented by Impact Media. Thanks to those guys. I'm Jeremy the Impact Gore. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Go Jaguars!